Thank you, Dwayne. Good morning to each of you, particularly if you're visiting with us this morning. We're happy that you're here. For those of you who are visiting for the first time, whether it's in person or online, I want to just remind you that I'm not the regular preacher here. Brian Hall, our preacher, is off this week at polishing the pulpit, and I'm just filling in for him, and I'm happy to be able to do that. You know, on April 26th, 2003, Aaron Ralston was hiking in the narrow canyonlands in Utah. And he was hiking that day, and when a boulder fell on his right arm and pinned him against the rocks. Some of you may know of this particular account. There was a movie made about it, and he was pinned there for 127 hours. And he was stuck with this boulder on his right arm, and he was pinned in this valley and unable to get himself free. And eventually, through his determination, he took out a multi-tool that he had, and he decided to sever his own arm. And he had to force the weight of his body against the rock once he hit bone to break his bones, and continued to cut through his arm to free himself. And when you think about that account, and there are other accounts of individuals who have done pretty drastic things, a determination to survive, it impresses you around their determination to move forward. They're quite unbelievable stories. You know, you think, would you cut your right arm off? You know, would you cut an arm off to survive? While most of us, thankfully, will never find ourselves in those types of situations or have to endure those kinds of choices, all of us will have to and will find ourselves in those types of situations spiritually. All of us will find ourselves in a desperate situation where only through determination will we get through the situation that's facing us. Sometimes it's health. It's an illness that causes us to question, why am I the one that's sick? Why am I the one that has this chronic condition? Sometimes it's relationships. It's loneliness. It's some sort of trauma we've had in our lives. It's an addiction. Whatever it might be, that favorite sin of yours or that favorite thing that continues to pin you against the rock, all of us will find our boulder sometime in our life. And it questions and will challenge us around what is our determination? What is our determination to free ourselves and to move forward? You know, as we live on this earth, and you live on this earth long enough, and you educate yourself around spiritual things, you realize that we're here long enough to decide, do we want to follow God? Do we love Him and we want to follow Him and His will? Or will we follow self and give ourselves over to the influences of Satan? In Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." We have been, we will be attacked spiritually in this life. We will face challenges, and we'll face those things that that can discourage us, those things that at times feel like they will defeat us. And it's in those moments we have to decide, are we going to lay down and say, this situation is too big for me? Or do we find that determination? And do we find a way to move forward? And it's that I want to speak to you about just for a moment, about three things or three characteristics that I think that we need to have to be able to move forward when we're faced with spiritual challenges and spiritual attacks. The first is that we must have a humble spirit. We must have a humble spirit. We cannot have pride. And only those who are humble will set themselves up to be in a place where they can move forward. You know, so many times when it comes to sin, we think, well, I just need to have more self-control. Or I just need to work harder at this. Or I need to have more willpower. If I had more willpower, or if I could just be a better person. But all of those start with I. You know, we don't realize it. Sometimes when you think about pride, you think about somebody who's proud. You think of someone who walks through and they think that they're better than everyone else. They think that they're more important than everyone else. They're filled of themselves. You can think, well, that's not who I am. I'm not like that. I don't walk around thinking I'm better than other people. But pride can be more subtle than that. Sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that we have the power, that I'm the one that has the power. I'm the one who can get myself out of this situation. You think about Peter when he looked at the Lord, and the Lord looked at him and said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter looked at him and said, Lord, not I. I'll die for you. Right? I know what I'll do. I know what kind of strength I have. I'll go to war for you. And Peter didn't realize that none of us have the power within ourselves. You will never be enough by yourself. You will never be enough by yourself. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not good enough. You will never be enough by yourself. We're deceiving ourselves when we think that we can stand up to the wiles of the devil, to the influences of the world. It's a real battle. It's real. It's a spiritual battle for your soul. And to think that we can walk around with the roaring lion and that I know I'm quick enough, I'm strong enough, I can outsmart it all by myself is a recipe for disaster. That's a very prideful mindset. And so we need to realize, and we have to be humble in spirit enough to say that I'm not enough by myself. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands, what? Take heed lest he fall. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Strength comes only when we move away from our own power and rely on God. Right? It's truly with God where we have the power. James 4 and verse 7 says, therefore submit to God. And when you submit to God, what does the very next part of that verse in James 4, 7 say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When we submit to God, the devil knows that God is with us. He will flee when we resist. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm too broken. You know, I've gone too far. Challenge is too big. The weight of this boulder seems so heavy. I've been here before. When Israel was so lost and broken, God showed Ezekiel that he, God, had the power to put them back together again. If you'll turn with me to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 1, is the account where Ezekiel is led around the dry bones by God, by the Spirit. And it says in Ezekiel 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones, a valley full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. Think of the Spirit leading Ezekiel around all of these bones. Why? Because he realized, and it says, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. These bones had been here a long time, in the sun, so far from life. And then verse 3, it says, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he also said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost. And we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. Then I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Here, of course, the Lord was helping Ezekiel understand that if he could bring to life, or bring life to these old bones that were clearly dry, clearly hadn't been, there was nothing on them, and bring them together and resurrect them, from almost dust, that God could do the same with Israel. When Israel says, I'm too far gone. I'm cut off from God. I'm irredeemable. He says, you go tell them they are redeemable. You tell them that with me, they are enough. That I can put them back together. And that they can be my people. And that's something that each of us need to remember, that we have more determination, that we don't allow Satan to discourage us, but that we have that determination to say, with God, while I can't put myself back together, with God I can be whole. With God I can be redeemed. I can be enough. So we must rely on God when we go into battle. And that's the second point. The first point is we must not have a heart that's filled with pride. We must have a heart that's humble, because when we have a heart of humility, we will invite God into the equation. And that's the second point. We must rely on God. You know, when you think about David and Goliath, right, is an easy one to think about. I'm not going to read the whole piece. But you can read all of it, if you like, in 1 Samuel 17. But in verse 45, I just want to read three verses to you. It is so clear that David understood, in the presence and in the face of almost unsurmountable odds, that the power didn't sit within him, but the power came from the Lord. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, it says, then David said to the Philistine, he said to Goliath, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. How much easier is it to just to be able to submit to God and for you to do your little part and for let him to do the rest? Just to trust in him, that's all he asks, that's all he wants. He's like, I'll take care of you. I'll be the one that will help you through this if you'll just let go of the wheel. Why are you fighting so hard? I remember our son when he was young, and you try to help. We've all had kids who you try to help, and they're like, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I've got it. And it's like, you can't do it. You need my help. No, I can do it. And then you watch them, and they can't do it. And eventually, they submit, and they ask for help. Are we not like that as adults sometimes with God? That we think we can do it, that we know better, we know enough. I know how to get myself out of this. You know, I look at times in my life where I made really bad decisions. Someone told me, your very, very best thinking, Patrick, got you here. What makes you think that you're going to think your way to a better place on your own? My very best thinking got me to a bad place. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. And we need to submit to God and understand where the power comes from. You look at Elijah in 1 Kings, right, 18, with the prophets of Baal. Think about being Elijah, and there's hundreds of prophets of Baal. He's the only prophet of God. This is going to go bad for him if God doesn't show up. And he's taunting them, and they're calling on their gods, and nothing happens. And Elijah says, I'll show you what my God can do. Not I'll show you what I can do. Not I'll show you my power. But I'll show you what my God can do. And in 1 Kings 18:36, It says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water which was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Have you ever thought about when you're in one of your most desperate places and your friends and your family know that you're in one of the most desperate places in your life and you have a heart full of humility and you invite God into your life and he turns your life around, the glory that that brings to God? That you can take that tough opportunity, that tough situation, and you can turn it into something that glorifies God because they see his power in your life. Not your power, not everything that you've done, but his ability to turn you into something that's beautiful and appropriate in his eyes. So the second thing is we must invite God into our lives. And the third is we must have a spirit of determination. We have to be determined, right? We can say, well, I'm going to be humble. God, can you help me? And then we just lay there. You have to do your part. Elijah did his part. Well, Aaron out in Utah, he cut his own arm off. Right? You have to do your part. You have to be determined. You can't give up. You're going to get knocked down over and over, and you have to understand you're going to get knocked down over and over. Who goes to war and thinks they're never going to get knocked down? And you get knocked down one time and you just lay down? Let God lift you up. Matthew 18, 8 and 9 says, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life maimed or lame rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hellfire. Literally, the idea here is, are you determined? How determined are you to be pleasing to God, to work through those issues, those things that hold you down, those things that you challenge, that are challenging to you in your life? What kind of determination are you going to have? How badly do you want to be pleasing to God? How badly do you want to be his servant and to be with him and to have a better life? We need to have that fire and that drive to not give up. Romans 12:2, we're encouraged to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And renewing your mind doesn't happen one night. When you have habits, when you've grown up in a particular situation, when you've been taught certain things, those things just don't flee from you immediately just because you say, you know what, I want to be something different. They're going to come back to your front door. They're going to come back to you again, and they're going to come back to you again. And when you think they're gone 20 years from now, they're going to come back to you again. And you need to have that determination to say, I need to keep renewing my mind, and I need to keep working and pressing forward. Paul suffered many things physically and mentally for being a Christian. You think about Paul, think about his determination in 2 Corinthians 11:23. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure," he had been beaten so many times, "in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Think about being Paul. Think about being a Christian and being Saul, and then being converted and being Paul. Think of all that Saul did in persecuting the church and pulling men and women out of their homes, having some of them killed. And he was willing to suffer. He was determined. Paul says in Philippians 3, what Dwayne read to us this morning, you think about determination, and you think about your determination in your life, not to give up, not to be discouraged, but to keep moving. He says in Philippians 3:12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." Paul goes, I know I'm not perfect. I haven't attained that. I'm not a perfect man. But what? But I press on. I keep going. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep moving towards my Savior. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, in reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said, "Listen, I'm not a perfect person. I know I'm an apostle. I've had all kinds of challenges in my life. I've actually killed Christians in my life. I had to have the Lord come down and hit me on the head in the road to Damascus, caused me to be blind before I came to my senses and figured out what in the world I was supposed to be doing with my life. I had to turn 180 degrees. I had to go look at brethren in the church who were missing fathers, who were missing brothers, who were missing moms or children at my hand. I can't be weighed down with all that guilt. I can't be weighed down with all that shame. I press on. I forget those things which are behind, and I move forward." Every day, it's a choice. Are you going to move? Are you moving? Are you being defeated, or are you determined? And I would encourage you this morning to be determined. And you don't have to have the strength. You don't have to summon all of the strength. Just get up. Get up and ask God to walk with you. He'll fill in the gap. He'll give you what you need. But you have to forget those things which are behind. Forget yesterday. You're disappointed about yesterday? Forget about yesterday. You have today, as we talked about in our class this morning. It's the only opportunity you have is right now. It's today. Take advantage of it. Move forward. Press forward towards Christ. It's your battle. It's your battle here in this life, and you can do it with God. You can't do it. You can't do it alone, but you can do it with God. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 says, this is God speaking. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." He goes, "I know my desire for you. I know what I think towards you," says the Lord. "Thoughts of peace." God wants you to have peace. Are you tormented? Do you have peace? Do you have that peace that passes understanding that the rest of the world doesn't have? Or do you sit there in your sin and wonder, how am I ever going to get out? How am I ever going to be anything different? He says, "I know what I think towards you. I want you to have peace, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Do you have hope? Do you have joy? Can you see a path forward? Can you trust in God that He will help you find a path forward? He says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Are you searching for God? Does He know that you're looking for Him? Have you invited Him into your life? Are you counting on Him and His power, or are you still saying, "I can do it. I can do it by myself. I know how. I'm strong enough"? When we do that, we find ourselves face down in the dirt again. Isaiah 40, I'll leave you with this verse, Isaiah 40, verse 28. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What a great thing to be a child of God, to know that regardless of what happened yesterday, today is your opportunity. That He loves you. You have a God who wants to give you a future and a hope, who wants you to live in peace, who wants to walk with you in this life, who wants to help you where you don't feel weary, where you don't feel overwhelmed every day, but that you know that He loves you and He's seeking you. And He will listen to you, and He will answer you when you search for Him with all your heart. Where are you this morning? Have you been trying to do it on your own? Have you had a little bit more pride in your life than maybe is healthy for you? Could you not humble yourself this morning? Could you not ask for His help? Could you not ask for the help of your brothers and sisters here, that they could pray for you, support you? Maybe some of you here who just need that extra encouragement and to know that you can free yourself from that boulder if you're determined each day to get up and to keep trying and to press toward the mark. If you're not a Christian, you're not going to get out of this world alive. Satan will sift you, and you need God. He's the only way. He's the only one to help you, to support you, to live the life, to live for you, to live to your potential. And regardless of how many years or whatever it's been, well, it's been so many years, you know, and I only have forget what's behind. Focus on today. Today is your opportunity. Today is your opportunity to walk with God, to ask Him to be part of your life. We're going to sing this song now for your encouragement. And if there's any way that we can help you, we'd encourage you to come forward and let it be known as we stand and sing.